We're up to your day, Simin Reish Samech Vav. Eze Mila Doche Shabbos V'Yontif. When does Bris Mila push away, meaning when is Bris Mila done on Shabbos and Yontif? Okay, so this is our Gemara is in Rabbi Lazar de Mila. Gemara Shabbos. Okay, let's jump right in. Mila, Bein Bizmana, Bein Shalom Bizmana. Doche tzara'as. Okay. There's something called tzara'as, which we no longer have. And there's a Torah prohibition to cut off a tzara'as from the body. If a person has tzara'as on the body, he's not allowed to cut it off. It's asur min haTorah. So what if the tzara'as is on the makom hamila? It's on the orla. Is one allowed to do bris mila and thereby cut off the tzara'as? So says the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara, the Braisa, Mila, Bein Bizmana, Bein Shelo Bizmana, doesn't matter if it's on the 8th day or not on the 8th day, Doche tzara'as, the Bris Mila pushes off the tzara'as. We pay no attention to the fact that there is tzara'as there. Shim Yesh Baheres Ba'or Ha'orla, if there's a Baheres, a type of tzara'as that you know to cut off, on the skin of the orla, av appreciation bikitzita sabaharis losasay, even though there's a negative prohibition to cut off a baharis, cholcha ima orla, he's allowed to cut it off with the orla. That is a type of asay doka losasay. The asay of doing bismila pushes off the losasay of the baharis. It's done at the same time, one at the same time, and that's discussed in the beginning of Yevamos, the concept, and also discussed in Rabbi Elazar de Mila. Havah, im la'acha shenimo, but if after the baby already had a bris, godal basar b'milasa, ad she'inunere mahu, so we've already discussed this. After the bris, the skin over there covers up the mila, and it looks like he didn't have a mila. And tzorech lechato, you have to cut it off again. In yesh baheres, but also habasa, but if this tzaras is a baheres over there in that skin, also lechato, then you're now to cut it off. Why? Kevin she'en tzorech lemula pamacheres ela midrabanan. Since you do not need to give him a bris now, you already had a bris. So now it's more like, I don't want to say tomorrow signing, we're going to discuss tomorrow signing, but there's now he already had the bris mila, he did. Now it's covered over, so midrabanan, he has to do it again. So since it's only midrabanan, then the midrabanan is not going to push off in Isser Daraisa.
He leaves it.
Right. Also, the chatko is not going to cut it off, and he can push it back and try to use, I don't know, something to keep it back, like tie it up, whatever. Since this second bris will only be midrabanan, it's not going to push off the Issa Daraisa. The girl points out that's a Gemara in Yevamos, and that Ayin Beis. Okay, that's Sifat. Sif Beis. Mila Docha Yom Tov V'Shabes Bizmana. If the bris is being performed on the 8th day, as it's supposed to be done, if the baby is healthy and well. So if the 8th day falls out on Yom Tov Shabbos, the bris is performed on Shabbos. Bayom HaShmina Fil B'Shabbos. That's only if it's Bizmana. Aval Shelo Bizmana. But if the bris is not Bizmana, Ein Adoche, it does not push away Shabbos Yom Tov. Okay, there's a very interesting pisvei shuli here, quoting Ricky Vager. It is quite large. Just going to do the question. And pisvei shuva reish samuvav sif katan aleph avas shlo bezmana ein adocha ein b'chuvas Ricky Vager simu kofanida shinish al. What if someone did bris mila, The baby, the eighth day, fell out on Tuesday. And the baby was sick. So they couldn't do the bris. So they pushed it up a few days. And then they went and did it on Shabbos. So they weren't allowed to do it on Shabbos. They did it on Shabbos. So look at the bris Meshuvah. We keep a hegush in the Shabbos. The mal b'Shabbos lo b'zmano. They did the bris on Shabbos, but it was not the eighth day. So it was forbidden. I amin me the ovid lo mahani. V'avi kilu nechtach or me'atzmo. So do we say, since he wasn't allowed to do it, it's as if it happened by itself, and there's no mitzvah. Because in doing the mitzvah, he did miss the daraisa. So do we say that it doesn't count? So do we say that it happened, as if it happened by a guy, or it happened by itself, and it doesn't count, and now you have to do it again, after Shabbos, hatofas dabris, take out a drop of blood from that area. Okay, when you're a Yuma Kogar, ain't that bechal I avid omahani. So there's a general rule discussed, I think, in Tamura. It's a big, big sugya. The concept of if you're not allowed to do something and you do it, it doesn't count. So when do we say such a thing? When do we not say such a thing? So it's a big group. Piskei Chuli here, according to Gid Eger, and he kind of goes back and forth on the topic. So we're not going to go through the bottom line, but it's an interesting question. Do we say, since the bris was not allowed to be performed, therefore it doesn't count, no credit, and it's as if the guy did it in the hospital, and you have to do it again, meaning you have to do hatavas dam bris, or do we say, no, it's good enough, and the rule doesn't apply over here, and we keep going back and forth on the topic. There's a lot of, mitzvah b'avera. If you do a mitzvah with something stolen, right, there's a bagazo. A person performs it, he does shechita on Shabbos. He does, he tears kriya for a relative on Shabbos. There's all sorts of different sugyas that revolve around the idea of mitzvah b'avera and the concept of i'avid lo mahani. If you did it something you weren't allowed to do, lo mahani, doesn't count, doesn't work. Okay, right. Okay, so bottom line, Mila doche yantim Shabbos is bizman. If it's not bizman, it's not doche. Va'apila bizman ain't doche ela hamila atzma upriya umetzitza. Now, when we say that bris mila doche Shabbos, it's only the bris, the cutting of the orla, the priya, the pulling back of the skin, the metzitza, the getting out the blood. Va'apila pirech chozer al tzitzin ha'ma'akvim. We've already discussed that there can be pieces of skin that are left over and didn't finish a job. So sometimes it is ma'akev ethamila, amitzibbeis, mishokhanar. Sometimes it holds back the fulfillment of the mitzvah, sometimes it doesn't. So let's say he finished the bris, and he sees that there's still pieces of skin left over, and those pieces of skin prevent, he's not yotze, it's a do-over, he's got to finish a job. So that's what the Shulchanah says in the second line, afilu pirech, even if he finished, he finished the mitzvah, he thinks he finished the mitzvah, meaning he stopped doing the bris, as far as he's concerned, he's done. And then he sees that there's some skin left over that is ma'akev, it prevents fulfillment of the mitzvah. Chozer al tzitzin ha-ma'akvin. He will go back even on Shabbos and get rid of those pieces of skin that are left over because it prevents his fulfillment of the mitzvah. So this is part of the mitzvah. Da'ainu. Now the Shulchan Aruch clarifies. In nishar me'or or ha'chover rov gove shel atara. If there's some skin left over that covers most of the height of the atara, we had a machlokas. Is the atara just the like the ring around, or is the atara the entire tip? So let's assume for now it's the whole tip. Only if the skin goes up most of the height of the atara, even if it's only one place. So then he has to go back and finish off the job, even if he thinks he finished, he didn't finish. However, but if the pieces of skin there that don't go up to the most of the height of the atara, and the yoyotze, b'di'eved, I don't know if it's called b'di'eved or it's not either mitzvah, however you define it, but the mitzvah has been, the official mitzvah has been fulfilled, even though you have some leftover pieces of skin over there. So those pieces of skin that do not hold back fulfillment of the mitzvah, you get full credit. So if those pieces of skin are left over, she'ena ma'akvin, don't prevent fulfillment of the mitzvah. Imlo pirish, if you didn't separate from the mitzvah, that means you're still in the middle of the mitzvah, chozek. So you can go back and finish it off. Even though if you leave it there, you yotze. However, the pirish, but once you separate it, you finish the mitzvah, and then you notice the skin that doesn't prevent your fulfillment of the mitzvah, means you yotze, eino chozer. Then you don't go back, and notes it, Allah is balanis, and then he should put on the bandage. Okay. Now there is a discussion. Where is it? Okay, right there. Not sure. I saw before. There's a machlokes, right? The Rambam and others. Okay, we'll leave that out. Fine, right there. Now, what is the status of the Mila knife? So the Mila knife is mentioned in Siman Shin Ches, in Ora Chayim, in Hilchos Muksum, in the very beginning. And there, the Shulchan Aruch himself writes, in discussing Muksum Achmas Yisarum Kis, something that is Muksum Achmas Yisarum Kis, that means that something is delicate, it's valuable, it's gentle, and therefore you set it aside for use and you only use it for very specific purposes. And otherwise, you don't move it. And that's a very high form of muksako, muksum machmas, visarum kis. And the examples that the Shulchan Aruch brings in the very beginning of Simin Shin Ches, kigon sakin shel shchita, the shchita knife, o shel milo. The Mila knife is a prime example of Muksa Machmas Chisaron Kis. Okay, Muksa, you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos. So if that's the case, so how are you allowed to use the Mila knife? How are you allowed to do Mila on Shabbos? So that's not a question. You're allowed if the bris pushes away Shabbos, then obviously the Mila knife pushes away Shabbos. The question is, what's the status of the Mila knife when you're not doing the bris? And what's the status of the Mila knife after you finish the bris? Okay, I'm going to do the bris. I need the Mila knife. That's part of the bris. That's for sure is matter. Now what? So the major league, Machlokes Rishonim, is the Mila. I know I'm a mom. You invite me to perform a bris Shabbos morning in shul. Okay? I know that this Mila knife is going to be used on this Shabbos because I have a bris. So some say, it's not muktzah. I have a bris this Shabbos. And if it's not muktzah now, it doesn't become muktzah later. It's not muktzah. This Shabbos is not muktzah. I need the Mila. Okay, I don't know if that's 100% accurate, but we'll say it like that. Others say, no, the Mila knife is muktzah, but you're allowed to use a muktzah knife to perform bris Mila. So what happens after the bris? So if you hold it's not muksa, so after the bris it's not muksa. This Shabbos is not muksa. Or, no, it was always muksa, but you're allowed to use a muksa knife to perform bris mila, but after the bris is finished, so bris is over, so the knife goes back to being muksa. Look at the, that's before we do the Rama, look at the Taz. He brings down Machlokas Rishonim. Says the Taz. The Ken Kasa Beis Yosef B'Sher Rebbe Yerucham V'Maril Kasa. Okay, so the Rabbi Yeruchov holds that you're allowed to move it. And the Maril writes, Shetziva Mari Segal, Shetekef Acher HaMila, immediately after the Mila, Yasiru Miyadom Kol Tzach HaMila. Get rid of it. Drop it. Dechashuvim Muksul Hala. And from here on, after the bris is performed, all of those things that you needed for the bris are now Muksa. Vegam, you need the Taz? In the Taz of Fetanala. It's a long one, but we're not going to do the whole thing. The Gam HaMoe La Yachse Lito HaIzal Min HaChol Shehitel Shama Or Lebiosa Bohol Ala Priya HaKam HaShem. That's a, we said yesterday, you're supposed to put the orla into the dirt. Yeah, Shabbos, you have to prepare the dirt in advance. I prepare the dirt in advance. I do a bris. I put the orla in the dirt. And often the knife will end up in the dirt also. I dropped the knife. Why is he dropping the knife? Anyway, he's got to quickly do the priya. He's got to pull back the skin. So I assume he's got to put the knife down for that. So once he puts down the knife, boom, he can't pick it up again. Continues, it says, Rashal, b'tshu, akasav, gamki, in the head there. Kamosh, akasav, ramokan. So we didn't do the ramok. Yep, but the ramok comes out, l'kula. That it's okay. And the Rashal also holds that it's okay. Mitab, shikim, enjoy your Rabbeinu Shemashal. Since Rabbeinu Shemashal's you knew you had a bris, so it wasn't muksa. Therefore, hutar kol hayom, it's muktzah the whole day. They ain't muksa l'chatzi Shabbos. Okay, that's a complicated concept, which we've discussed in the past, and we're not going to do again. But once muksa, things don't usually come muksa in the middle of Shabbos. Okay, ain't muksa l'chatzi Shabbos. Okay, I don't know what that means exactly, but okay. Look at this beautiful taz. I'm on the fourth wide line of the taz. The ain't mikedai l'achriya bein harim gedolim. I am not worthy of picking a team between these great mountains, arguing over the muksa status of the mila knife after the bris. Aval nearly, but even though I'm not worthy, it seems to be mavura l'isser. It seems clear to me that it is usser. The knife is muksa. And he goes on to bring his proofs.
So if he drops it in the dirt, then he's got to leave it.
Okay, we'll see, right? According to the Taz, correct. Correct. Now, I have a little aleph, from my other Shulchan Aruch, I have a little asterisk over here by the word aval nirli, and that takes us to the Nekudos HaKesef, on the side of the page. Nekudos HaKesef was written by the Shah to fight against the Taz. So, he writes like this. You see the Nekudos HaKesef?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it seems like the Nekudos HaKesef he wrote was written a little bit later, so he had time to fight against the Taz in the Nekudos HaKesef. So he writes here, Aval nirli mevura l'iser, hiksha al Ramah u'marshal. So he's asking Akasha against the Ramah, the Marshal, who hold that the mila knife after the mila is not muksa. Velo kasha midi. It's not a kasha at all. And he goes on to discuss the kasha, which we didn't do. You skip to the bottom of the Nekudos HaKesef. So the Taz wants to say it's Aser. The Shach wants to come out against the Taz and say it's not Mukzah. However, all the way in the bottom of the Nekudos HaKesef, he says, Mikamoko Mash Midivre Ramah, the Ramah, who's lenient, he's not so lenient. Dilo Hitter Elekede Latznio Bachotza Mu'urav, Val Tadlo Bechinam Lo. How far do you take this leniency? Okay? So it almost sounds like there's three opinions. I don't know if there's really three opinions, but there could be three opinions. It could be you have to drop it on the spot, can't touch it. Boom, done, muksa. Period. It could be, no, it's not muksa at all. You can do with it whatever you want for the rest of Shabbos. Okay, I'm not really sure there is such an opinion. There might be. But that's what the Nekudos HaKesef says. Even the lenient opinion doesn't sound like he's lenient entirely. Sounds like he's only lenient that you could hide the mila knife, you know, to protect it and then not have this problem. Look at the remark. How go? Says Rama, what do the Taz Hali Zema Achar Mila get out? You're allowed to move the knife after the bris. Latznio to hide it b'chotzer ha'mu'urav in a chotzer, assuming there's an ear. Abba got the inner tzarech l'obos Shabbos, even though you don't need it, you don't have another bris. If you have another bris, then it's easy. There's no other bris. Dalo hooks of Ben Hashmashos. It was a hooks of Ben Hashmashos. Since you needed it for Shabbos, it wasn't muksa. So on the one hand, it sounds like you need it on Shabbos. It doesn't become muksa in Shmashos. Sounds like it's not muksa at all. But he's only really allowing you to hide it. He's not really allowing you to play with it. So the Mishnah Berurah actually discusses this in Hilchos Muksa and Simen Shin Yud Seif Tes Vav. And he brings down the Taz. So I'm reading from the Mishnah Berurah. And Shin Yud, Sivkot, and Tesvav. Kosova Taz, that the Mila knife is Moksa. It's Moksa, Machmach, Yisaran, Kis. After the bris, you can't touch it. Okay? Not like those that want to say it's not Moksa. Because Ben Hashemash says it wasn't Moksa. He says it was always Moksa. You had a right to use it through the bris. Bris is over. It goes back to being Moksa. And therefore, you should hide it in the room in which you're doing the bris. So it's like ironic. There are those who say it's mutter, hide it. Those who say aser, but you can hide it. And so it seems like, you know, it's like unclear. It's sort of like, it's unclear how big is the real machlokas over here. Now, I'm going to run between the Shinlam and Aleph, mask, you know, Gamke, Maker, Adin. That it's aser. Out of that though, sheyesh, this word says lahachmir, but Rav Nachman says it could be lahatir. It doesn't. The word lahachmir doesn't fit. He says if you're still holding it in your hand, so before you drop it, you should put it in a safe place. Now it's hard to do because he has to drop it to do the priya, and he can't be holding it in his hand. But muksa, that's already in your hand, there's a big machlokas. Is it always the case that only fits in your hand beheter, or only fits klisha malachta leiser? What are the parameters of this leniency? Is a serious debate amongst the poskim. But there's more leniency if it's still in your hand. So leave it in your hand and then put it in a safe place rather than putting it down. Then you have to pick it back up. Because as long as it's in your hand, he says, you can put it where you want. But if you have to put it down, so the Eli Rabbah says, I have an idea. Instead of just dropping it, hand it to your friend. Hand it to a helper. Give it to the rabbi. Give it to someone else so it's still in someone's hand. And then let him hide it. But if he dropped it, and we're afraid it's going to get stolen, so you can rely on the Ramah and the Shach that hold that it's mutter, and the Chochmas Adam also comes out that b'di'eved you can hide it to make sure it does not get stolen or ruined. Aruch HaShabbos has a whole discussion about this also. So that's basically the advice. Either keep it in your hand and hide it, give it to someone else to hide it. Now, if he says, a lot of times they'll throw it in a bag, and in the bag there's more mutter than other stuff, so then the bag overall does not become muksa. Or just throw it in his pocket. What they do nowadays, you're not going to believe it. They use a chad pami knife, and they throw it in the garbage with everything else. Nowadays they use disposable. I don't know, every day they use disposable or just on Shabbos they use disposable. We're a disposable generation, so they just cut it and they leave it there. They wrap everything up, all the garbage, and put it in the garbage and finish.
Surgeon scalpels are
chad pami. Okay, so then certainly a Mila knife could be chad pami. Okay, so that is Reish Samach Vav Aleph and Aleph Beis.